What's going on, everybody? We have episode 3 of the Influencer Series by Press for Time. Today is another great, great show lined up with a great person. And again, a lot of these shows have been related to just kind of me sifting the world of social media, looking at things that I love in the interim of creating my content. And I'll always find these unique characters that just like gravitate towards me, whether it be something that they're doing that I love, or just their personality, whatever it may be. But this specific person has a very common passion of mine that is beyond near and dear to my heart. For anybody that's known me a long time, I'm a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger fan, like diehard. And in the world of social media, we see a lot of people that, you know, do different kinds of skits and jokes and commentary, and a lot of people gravitate towards Arnold's voice. But over the years, there's been very few that have kind of like really captured the essence of Mr. Universe himself. This one particular person is somebody that just, I guess, you know, the algorithm worked. The For You page, he came up. I was sold immediately.
Follow for more Arnold.
So you'll get a little clip before we get started. But again, stay tuned. This is going to be a really special episode on Press for Time.
My name is Harry Rehnquist. I am a corporate art consultant in San Francisco, and I have an appointment with Miss Skinner. Stay.
Stop cheering me up!
Those idiots! I know what this is. It's an espresso machine. No. It's a snow cone maker. That's what it is.
Salutations, my friend.
Good morning. How are you? This is your good friend, Arnold. Let's do this. We are on the Pressed for Time podcast. Let's do it. Yes! What's up, bro?
I'm so excited to have you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Hope you're having a great day so far. I know you are on the West Coast, so it's still morning for you. It's a top of the morning to you. And it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. I appreciate you as well. So what we've been doing on this show for the past couple of weeks, as I mentioned, I've been just kind of connecting with people that, you know, I find a love for their craft, or there's just something about, you know, I want to meet that person. I want to know more than what I'm seeing on social media. I'm a little spoiled. I want to get to know the person, and I'm very lucky enough to have that chance with you. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about yourself, because I know you have a growing, continuously growing social media following. We'll focus with Instagram, because I believe that's where you did start, correct? So you are massing over 100K, 126K as of me looking at the page now. And for those that are not familiar with his handle, it is Geekfire Inc. And you can find this gentleman's memes, tattoos, cosplay, cooking, and just awesome personality. Somebody that shares a almost birth date, but also birth year, which is incredible. So, yeah, I figured let's find out about the man behind the Arnold. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. People are quite weirded out by my normal voice, but they're getting used to it because I'm interjecting it more. But I like what you said about, you know, interacting and getting to know more. I think that's what social media is bringing us. That's what I'm focusing on. And it's really cool to use the technology to link up. I mean, look, where are you at? What state?
I'm based in New Jersey.
You're New Jersey and I'm in California, and we're talking right now, and this is wonderful. We share common interest and we're just going to grow from here. So this is cool. Thank you for that. But so just briefly, I was, you know, I'm an 80s baby, born in 82. So, you know, we're the same age. We have the same interests. The 80s were such an awesome time. I grew up in like Monterey Park area, kind of the San Gabriel Valley of Los Angeles. So we were big movie fans. My grandmother owned, her family owned a movie theater in Mexico before they came to America. And we've just, our whole family has been movie fans like crazy. So we would go visit Universal Studios and watch the Miami Vice show and the Conan. They had a Conan stunt show, so we would watch that. Just the whole spectacle of everything. It had a Knight Rider kit car you could sit inside. Knight Rider was such a huge TV show at the time. Saturday morning cartoons were thriving. Sugary cereals. I mean, everything was just excessive and big and over the top in the 80s. And, you know, that, I think my person kind of knows that. But, you know, that's that other persona. But I grew up in that era. I loved it. I soaked it all in and have an incredibly spongy mind for that kind of pop culture. So, yeah, I guess my love of Arnold started with the movie Twins. My cousins were older than me, and they were the first in the family to buy a handheld camcorder like Marty McFly, carry it on their shoulder, you know, nice. Kind of thing. And I visited them one time. I was probably like 7 years old, maybe 8 years old, and saw this camera. And they hooked it up to the TV and recreating lines from the movie Twins. And they bought matching suits. You know, they were, you know, my cousins, the brother cousins were in suits doing the lines. One was Danny DeVito. One was I was mind blown as a kid. You're on TV. You're in the movies, dude. How did you do that? Some kind of magic. Well, we with this camcorder. So naturally, I wanted to play too. But they gave me a homework assignment. They said, you got to go home and you got to watch the movie Three Amigos. And you gotta memorize as many lines as you can, so that when you come over next time, we have more opportunity to play. We could do more scenes. So sure enough, I ran home. I looked up to my old cousin. So whatever they said, right? Go home, watch Three Amigos all day, all night. And we would recreate that stuff with the video camera. And it eventually turned into Arnold. Kindergarten Cop came out, and I saw that in the movie theater. That was my first Arnold movie in the movie theater. And as it was on the races. I was a pretty awkward kid. I tried sports, but I was not very athletic as a kid. I was more of a performer. I like to make people laugh, and I love to draw and paint. That's always going to be my first passion is artwork. So awkward kid in elementary school, can't really find my place. Get to high school and I get automatically placed in a drama class, like theater, right? And I did not choose the elective. It just kind of fell on me, and I couldn't even find the classroom because it was backstage. So it was hard to find, but ground running. As soon as I was in there, I was in beginning drama, and my Mr. Chang, much love to you. If you're out there somewhere, Mr. Chang recognized my talent and he promoted me to advanced drama by the next semester immediately as a freshman. And then I was already starring in my first lead role that spring, freshman year. So, I found my people. I found my niche. I found what makes me tick. It honed in my energy, gave me something to focus on. It taught me how to be part of a team, you know, how to perform under pressure, performing in front of people. I mean, it really challenged me, and it helped focus my energy to something very positive. And I thank that experience. Shakespearean theater, musical theater, improv comedy, stand-up comedy, all that stuff was born of that. Still continue to draw and paint. Got out of high school and pursued a career in radio, television, broadcasting. That was extremely competitive, and during the year 2000, you know, early 2000s, didn't quite make it through. So say, hey, I need to get a regular job. So then I pursued a career in firefighting. So I've been providing firefighting, paramedicine, and EMT services for the Los Angeles County area for 20 years. That's what I've been doing for the past 20 years. Let's see, been on Instagram for, you know, the whole time since day one, but with various accounts. The account before this one was firefighter based. I went all in on the fireman stuff. And I found that I'm quite on the fringe of the way most firemen think. And I had a podcast that had firemen interviewed here. It was an awesome podcast. It wasn't quite me. I don't think the fireman stuff for me is a job, not to take anything away from people. There's guys that just love the job, and I get it, but that's not me. There's more to me than that. And I love being goofy. I love being doing artwork. So I deleted that account. I had 250,000 followers on TikTok. I had 20,000 on Instagram. I had 20,000 on YouTube. And I just one day I deleted it. I just deleted it all. it wasn't serving me and it was stressing me out. So I took a 6-month break on social media, was not sure if I was going to come back. And then one day, 6 months later, it came to me. Be yourself. Be yourself, bro. Lean into you and give the people you. And if they don't accept it, that's okay. I'm still being me. Still win, whether it's a ton of followers or not. And I'll meet my people. I will. I was leaning into that because I really did want to find. Look at your bound. That you're my people, dude. That's exactly it. I love comic cons. I love cosplay. I love going to opening night of a movie dressed up as a character. I love that. I think it's great. And I leaned into that, and the results are in. And it's people are very smart. You can't fool them. And it's very, it feels very great to be myself and be genuine and people accepting me. I had a moment last night. I was on TikTok live and I was crying tears of joy. And I'll finish with this. I'll close with this here. I'll bring it home. I promise. July was my first viral video ever. And it was me sitting in my car saying, no one can scream quite like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Ah! Right? And I did, and basically that was my stand-up routine in high school. That was, that exact bit is from high school, like what, almost 30 years ago? I'm terrible at math. I'm not, but
yeah, just about.
Yeah. Scary. So that bit was from my stand-up act that's over 30 years old. So it got 6 million views or something like that, and my mind is blown, and I'm like, oh my god, finally, this is it. I because I love that voice. Everyone that knows me, I do that voice all the time for laughs, and it always kills. But you know, I try to be humble, and I'm like, yeah, it's not that great, okay, but you know, there's a lot of my own personality that comes out in it. So once that happened, it's like, don't get a big head, dude. It's still not that great, but give the people what they want, right? That you once you hit the algorithm, hey, boom. And it's great because, like I said, it's something that I'm into. So I start kind of giving the algorithm stuff. It's slowly starting to build. I'm getting very excited. And then my stomach decides to explode at work. Wow. And I get rushed to the hospital and I get put into an emergency 4-hour surgery. Wow. And I wake up in pain, I wake up sore, I wake up confused. And the doctor was like, hey, dude, you were septic. And septic is like one step away from death. It's basically an infection that's so bad that it's causing systemic shock in your body. So another 24 hours and I would have been dead, is what I was told. So I had to wrestle with a few things after being told that. Because you never really know until you're in that position how you're going to react or what it feels like. You think you know, but holy crap. So I had a few conversations with God and myself, and it feels like a second chance. So people ask, why? You're 42 years old. You have a good paying job. You have a loving family. Why look like an idiot on social media? Why not? We only got one life to live, and I'm going all in on this one, okay? And I think this is my second chance, so I think people see the light inside me that's burning very bright, you know, including people like yourself. So thank you for having me on and letting me tell my story, bro. Appreciate it.
Thank you for sharing that. Cause again, there's a heart to anybody that is creative in any kind of way. And I feel that there's not enough recognition in the story or the journey that, you know, someone goes on. And like you said, you know, being 42 years old, the biggest question is why. If especially, you know, again, I have a good paying job, I have a family, I have a lot of things that I'm grateful and happy for. Do I need to do what I'm doing? Why do I do it? And, you know, it's because you want to be you. You want to be genuine. You want to be organic and you're passionate about it. And that's what this show came from. This show came out of pure passion from a colleague and mine and myself, where we just said, hey, we talk about this all day. Why don't we just share that with other people? And find other people that relate. And again, there's a story behind everybody out there. And it's great to be able to hear, because I don't feel that we hear it enough. And again, I thank you for the courage to tell us, because it's obviously not something everybody in the world is comfortable with sharing, especially, you know, life-threatening situations like that. So thank you for that. Truly, like I said, I'm a fan first, but I feel like we've connected beyond that at this point, and I'm grateful for that, because again, the more we talk, the more of the similarities I see. And again, I understand why people love your craft. It's not just the Arnold voice. That's just a piece of it. Because without you, it's not what it is, you know?
Yes. So, and I mean, that's what I mean about the audience being so smart, which gives me hope for humanity. There's a lot of negativity right now. That was the other thing, was there's so much going on. And I don't get into specifics, so I don't really get into too much specifics of stomach issues or my health. I will say what it does to me and how I feel about it and how it's affected my life. But I don't think it's anybody's business as to what exactly is going on. That is a little bit embarrassing for me. But everyone's different. What's cool is you just cannot fool people. And like I said, it gives me hope. You just hear the news is very negative. Politics are what they are. And I wanted to come out here and just say, no touching those topics. All we're doing is laughing and having a good time. And that can possibly give us a minute or two of a break from the heaviness of life, right? And we all feel it. And instead of going out there, like with the podcast I used to have, I used to give people very direct and specific advice. You should do this. You should do that. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And when you do that to people, they go, get out of here, alienated. Bro. I don't need this. And dude, I learned that. You cannot change a grown man's mind. You should not ever try to change a grown man's mind. Best we could do is listen to each other and have respect. That's it. Where was I going with that? It's just a good way to, I totally lost my check. Sorry, bro.
No worries.
Listen, it's just cool. It's just cool that all the audience, right? So dude, I'm in conversations with people and they're now, because, you know, I'm doing this goofy Arnold, but because they've also done goofy Arnold indirectly parallel, right? We're in parallel lives. They go, hey, I want to now sit in your lane. Let's talk. I'm going through shit and you make me laugh and it's helping me do more. That I can do all day. I can make these goofy skits. I love editing. I have all these screens right here. I'm a total dork. I love it. I will do that all day. It's so cool to indirectly help people smile and laugh.
You do a great job. And I have to say, you know, as somebody that has been on that sideline, and has been in several of your lives just to say hi. And again, I'm observing. I'm observing as a fan. I'm observing as a fellow content creator, because I try to understand, you know, like you said, we live in a world where everything is kind of to shit for the most part. And we all need an escape. And TikTok has been a hot topic for a lot of reasons, specifically with Press for Time, because the last two episodes of the influencer series were also content creators that are heavy in that realm. But we do talk about the toxicity and the garbage that can be found, especially live streaming. Live streaming is such it's a cash grab for a lot of people. That's the biggest thing that I see. And, you know, you got these people with the water balloons, so they're pumping them for 3 seconds. Yeah. You got the guy whispering, I'm going to put the hot to put that in my mouth. And he sits there for like 6 hours and does nothing.
Chili guy finally eats the powder and stops stalling.
But you know, we have a world that connects to that, because yeah, it's just something to gravitate towards, but there's more to the context. And I think that what you're doing is obviously you're providing a surface, because you're providing that humor, that laughter that we look for, but you're also yourself in between that, and you're talking to people and you start becoming a nerd more so because somebody will bring up something that you relate to. Like when somebody brought up Kiss from Rose, you got so excited about it and then you started singing it, and you know, it's like you didn't plan that, you know. And that's a huge aspect of the true organic side of these live streams that are not gaming specific, you know. So exactly. I just commend you, because you're able to sit there and people feel that there's value in talking to you versus trolling. I mean, you're always going to get that, but you're finding that positive side of the social media that wants to connect and wants to watch you grow. And I believe that they're gonna follow you to the ends of the earth, because you have created something that it's not reinventing the wheel, but your take has made it in such unique style. And as somebody that has been doing Arnold his whole life as well, you know, I take a step back now and I'm like, I can't do Arnold anymore. Okay. Because I need to hear.
Oh, that's the opposite.
No. I say it because I'm embraced.
I know what you're saying. Myself. I play along.
I was cooking the other day and I'm like, let me try to follow Rich's. I know he talked about the mouth and, you know, there's more to it than just doing Arnold and, you know, getting the facial features. Like, you were inspiring me to be better at something that I never took serious. Dude, I can find a audio cassette we talked about earlier of like an old band practice from 15 years ago. For the record, it's okay to curse here. I know we try to be careful on the other platforms.
Okay, good.
So I wanted to, very important, we've talked about that. But
I curse like a sailor, man. I try so hard. I have to try so hard to stop. Yeah.
I know. And I know. I've seen you and you, especially there's lines that have it, you know, so I get that. But
there's little ones. It's beautiful. The dads, I thank you to the dads for seeing what I'm trying to do, because again, he propped me up. The firemen, I really hate the firemen thing, because people have ideas about what firemen are, good or bad. And it's either whether it's good or bad in there, it's still inaccurate, as at least for me. I'm a freaking person and I really don't like labels. So it's wonderful when grown men see the grown man inside me having fun. And I think there's a piece of them inside that is being reinvigorated and reminding them of what it was like to have fun and be young and have an imagination. It's okay. We're grown men, but we can play, dude. We can play. We need that stuff. The most beautiful part is they're now bringing their kids along and showing them my videos. And the kids just think I'm a goofy old guy that's making fun. They think I'm just funny. Which is beautiful. Right. And through that, the dads are showing, they said, oh, I showed my kid Last Action Hero. That was my favorite growing up. They're watching it all the time now. I play your song on in the car when I'm picking up my kids from school. And we sing along together. And it's like, bro, I'm dude, you're gonna start making me cry again, bro. It's like that's what I do with my kids. And that's what life's all about. Not these fancy cars and the crap that is superfluous that we cannot have any control of. I don't know. I butchered that word, but you get the point.
Yeah, totally.
Hang out with your kids, spend with them. You'll never get time back. Really. It warms my heart, man.
I'll tell you, man, you know, like I'm trying to get my son into stuff. You know, he's into his own things, but he's got that personality where I'm watching the stuff he's watching. I'm like, that was me. I can embrace it. I can understand it. I can't connect with it because it's a different era, but at the same time, like I know when I play certain songs or something that he'll listen and I'm like, if he likes it, he's going to repeat. So like literally we were driving to a toy convention yesterday and you know what song was on and what do I hear in the background? and I'm like, all right, I did something right here, you know?
It's catchy, and you guys are sharing a moment, and you guys will remember that, and it's amazing to be a part of that and be the provider of that. I will share this with you too. Do you follow Rick Rubin? Do you know who that is?
I don't.
He's a music producer, very famous music producer. A Weezer's Blue album, System of a Down, Toxicity. He's worked with Nirvana, I'm sure, but like all the big names and all across all genres, he's produced albums for artists all the time. And he has a really cool view on creativity. And he says that in order to be creative, you got to let go of your ego. And he's right, because you got to let things flow through you. You can't have anything stop it. And then he was saying ideas are out there. They're floating around. And we're just the antennas that receive the message and are able to provide it. So it really, the ideas are not mine or any of ours. They're just kind of borrowed. And he puts it in the context to say, have you ever had an idea and then you don't act on it? And 2 months later, all of a sudden, someone else invents that idea. You say, oh, you know, The idea was meant to be born somewhere. It just happened to be born with that other person. So that's really what inspiration is. And that if you want maximum creativity, you got to let go of that ego. It's because you'll wrestle with, this is my decision. And is this better? Or is that, if you're flowing, it just has that, just like the X-Men video. I mean, I don't want to say it's some kind of high art. Okay. But
my whole wall.
Yeah.
X-Men.
It has like 14 million views across socials, that one video. And that's from what I've
seen. Rightfully so.
So it's not some kind of high art, but I woke up one morning and I said, I need to film myself in front of this thing and do a quartet of arms bobbing their head. I thought that was going to sink me. The ego was saying, don't post it. It's too much. And the homie said, fuck it. The worst it could do is that it doesn't get views. It's not going to hurt you, dude. Just fucking post it. And look what happened. And that gave birth to the Mario. And I thought the Mario was going to go too far. They want more yeah. annoying noises. Hey, cool. We got all day for that because that's my humor. I think that if someone else did that, I would lose my mind laughing. It's so good.
Well, for the record, I do it all the time now. So if there's any consolation. Well, am I comfortable enough to record myself? No, primarily because the master is at work and the student will observe and continue to practice.
Well, that's the cool thing, too, is I've also received messages of people that I've saying they're like, I wish, like, that's something I would love to do, but never would because I don't have the courage to it. You're doing it. It's covered now. Now I can just watch and enjoy, which is, yeah. And I'm like, hey, again, I have all day for that too. That's cool. But somebody even broke it down too, where it was like, dude, you're like a man's man, fireman, all that, you know, preconceived, whatever. But at the same time, champion for, you know, nerd culture, comic books and stuff like that. So it's almost like making it more acceptable. And I'm like, hey, that's cool too. If that makes you more comfortable, that's cool. But I work with a lot of guys that are into this stuff too. And they have fake accounts. I've learned, I will say who they are, but yeah. They've made fake accounts in order to cosplay and they never show their face, but they're police officers, they're firemen, they're chiefs. I've met fire chiefs. We're supposed to be the top dogs who cosplay and they don't show their face.
Yeah.
And they've reached out to me. They go, thank you for what you do. You're pretty bold showing your face out there. And I'm like, hey, I'm at the point where take it or leave it. See, what you see is what you get. It. I'm comfortable with myself to do this.
It's awesome. And as somebody that works in a different side of you know, law enforcement, because I work in a role that deals support for a product that helps law enforcement with their job. You know, I see that side of that professionalism and, you know, that you have to follow that certain path. And, you know, with my job, I'll go in a meeting and I have to put my green screen on because like people will just like not be able to focus. They'll see this or the other side is even worse because it's just toys behind me, like on the shelves. And they're like trying to see where it is. I'm like, can we focus? You know, like it's one of those things where I have to tread lightly because if I'm on a remote session with a, you know, police officer, let's just say, I have to be mindful of, you know, they want me to turn the camera on. All right. Well, I got to put my brand's logo on and make sure I properly represent. But at the heart, I'm like, I'm not embarrassed. It's me. It's not changing the fact that the support you're going to get is going to still be great. It's just, I happen to love all this other stuff as well, you know? And then when I have to tell the laundry list of all the things I'm into, it's just great. Cause people are like, wait, you do what? You do what? And it's like, you find that a lot of people don't talk about what they're into. And I don't want to say it's not okay, but like, try to let yourself be free, people. You know, it's really about just be yourself. And Rich has said it best, you know, like be you, be genuine, be unique in whatever you want to do. And again, I say it as the musician from my band Neon Arcadia. I had a fan that became a friend that one day I was just having imposter syndrome, which I have a lot. Including this past weekend. And one day he felt the need to make a video that was just him in the freezing cold to tell people about how my music has and how things I've done have inspired him to want to be better.
I can't say enough about this band, and in particular, the person who represents the band. He never gets into ugly shit on social media. He's always nothing but good vibes. I think you guys can already tell who I'm talking about. But I gotta do this. Like, dang it. Wait for this. Be like Benny. Be good people. Love you all.
You know, again, like you said, it doesn't take a lot to do things that make you you, but to have that impact later on is, you know, surmountable. You can't think of, why would anybody want to thank me for just doing what I do? You know, and it really goes a long way, and it helps validate that we're doing something right, you know? And I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful that you have that opportunity, that people are being open and honest about that, especially in your work environment, if you will, like that industry, because it is an industry that treads lightly with stuff like this, and I understand that.
Yeah, it's that's a trip, because again, I went all in on fireman content, you know, or EMS and all that stuff with that podcast I had, and it was very challenging. I did not get a lot of support. I got a lot of very nasty messages from people that, you know, I don't know, dude. I it was very strange.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing the geek stuff and I get less heat from work for it.
Because I would think it's more of a less of a conflict of interest, I'm thinking. Because even though it's you, it's not what it is. I think that's where I see it. Because I feel like if I started doing stuff that was relatable to what I do in a day to day, it gets a little weird. And I just think social media, every business is very protective, and agencies are no different, you know? So yeah. Logistically, you know, my company always wants us to support the brand, but I'm like, I'm me. I don't want to misidentify things, and I don't want to misperceive, you know, I'm a very strong believer, and I'm not embarrassed of the job I work at, but I like to keep them separate. You know, that's just my important, you know, component, because yeah. Here, I'm Benny Rose. At work, I'm Benny Rosario. Like, there's a big difference. There's a big personality change, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been doing this for over 20 years. And when you love something as long as you have, and I'm not making $1 million, you know that it's out of passion. And that's okay, you know, because that's where we have that driving force to differentiate ourselves from everybody else. And I'm grateful to have people at my job that support what I'm doing, you know, because again, out of passion, you know, that's a good separation here. You know, you're not doing it to make a quick buck, you know, because at the end of the day, everybody's doing the same thing. But if you're successful along the way, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I see it.
You're absolutely right. You just helped me realize something. I believe that other people are a mirror to us. And if we like something, that means that we're looking into the mirror and the same image or similar is looking back at us. When it's something bad, the image isn't lining up, but it's still a mirror because it's something that we need to work on ourselves. So something is annoying me about someone else. It's not them. It's me that has to get over whatever that is, right? So I think the mirror that I was putting up was not reflecting that of that group. And that is my platform has always been separate work and home. The job isn't everything. There's more to life than a job, and it's just a job. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a culture. It's just a job. Because guess what? If they stop paying you, you're gonna run away. I know I would. So I think the image didn't line up and. What is cool about being a geek and leaning into the stuff that I actually know and have knowledge of, which is what's going on right now, getting the feedback that the image is right on point. And it feels very good, because this last year has been one of the most difficult years of my life. Thank you to everyone that has participated in this.
And it's been an incredible journey thus far from my point of view. And I think, again, the sky's the limit. I say that to anybody that I truly believe in their craft. And I think that there's a lot more to you that the world doesn't know. And this was just a teaser of what they can get to know about you. So I commend you all. Obviously, we will have links to all of his content in the video. You probably know who he is as soon as the show starts. I'm going to definitely show a clip. You'll know. But again, there's more than just these little short videos. There's a great individual here that has a real heart for all things that are nerd. And that's what we love, because he's not afraid to share that love. And he's created something truly special that, you know, everybody can do it theoretically, but it's him that makes a difference in how it comes out and how it's portrayed. And again, I look forward to many more antics and videos that you have. I hope that we can continue to collaborate. I think we can do some great stuff together. I'd hate to cut it short, unfortunately, but unfortunately work calls and I am pressed for time, but maybe we can have a separate show. And one of my goals on the social media side is for the TikTok side to get to that 1,000 followers, because I'd love to try to do these types of shows in a live stream format, because then it gives the fans the opportunity to ask these questions. So once I can get that, we'll go in and we can do another show, and you are welcome here anytime. I'd love to have
you. Where are you at? Where are you at on your following?
So right now I'm at like 270. I've only been doing it for about 3 weeks. So again, yeah, the mantra of being pressed for time is literal in that aspect where, you know, I'm with my kid most of the time. If I'm not with my kid, I'm with work. And, you know, I do content with him on occasion. I do that on my personal page, which has over 3,000. But I felt our brand needed to have a social media presence. We don't really do that. It's either me or nothing. But the Press for Time channel gives us a chance to share great clips from shows like this, which I will also have once the show is released. And again, I look to grow into a way where we can interact with the fans and literally get the fans to chat with you on a different level. You know what I mean? Like, a live stream with an interview is not something you see too often, and especially in the world of content creation, because I feel that everybody that's getting the limelight are all the big names, you know? And to me, you're a big name, because if everybody is listening, you're a big name, and that's a household name that can continue to grow. And you don't have to be a movie star. You don't have to be, you know, this rock star. There's a different world out there. And the content creator persona is mostly negative in the world. And a big part of that is because of the ones that leave that impression. Like you said, there's a stereotype to everything. And the world of content creation is mostly the guy with the water balloon and the guy with the pepper. And, you know, there's a lot of quality out there. And you're definitely
in the high spectrum. Yeah, we want to be useful. And we want to encourage you to be useful as well.
Damn right, Arnold. You tell him. But I want to leave us all with one last thing. One of my best friends, my true, actually, best friend I've had since I was in seventh grade. His name is Carlos Perez. Today, as we're recording, is his birthday. And I wanted to bring this up because he is my Arnold in crime. And when we grew up, that lifestyle you talked about of reliving the life, and we used to watch every Arnold movie every day. We both walked around as either Beavis and Butthead, or we would just talk to each other as Arnold. And we used to watch Commando. We would count the deaths in the movie. And the moment I found your content, he was the first person I shared it with. And he was blown away. And he's been following and watching ever since. And I wanted to say happy birthday. And I wanted to make sure you knew that you have a fan that has been an Arnold fan for as long as I have, that loves your craft as well. So, Arnold, could you give him a quick happy birthday? That would be awesome.
This is for Carlos Perez right here. And here it is, your birthday. Yes, of course, I need to tell you that this is your good friend Arnold, but I think you figured it out already. Here we go. Let's do it. 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Carlos. Happy birthday to you. Yes, and many more. Channel 4 and Scooby-Doo and Channel 2. Yes. Happy birthday, brother. Yes.
Thank you so much, brother. You are the man. Again, love connecting with you. I thought this was a great show. As always, there's not enough time in the day. I think you and I could do this all day. And I look forward to chatting with you again. But everybody, we'll let you go. We hope you have a great day. Remember, take care. Have fun.